Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
Worship is not just singing a bunch of songs and hearing a sermon and have an invitation and respond to the invitation. But worship of God needs to be taking place every single day of our lives. In our homes, in our communities, as we minister life, and as we reflect the goodness of God, this is our worship.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. This last Thursday, I had an opportunity to go to a seminary class, and the class was on pastoral care. And they were asking me to come and speak to these 30, 40 students about pastoral care in a local church. But what they really were interested in was, how does a guy come to a traditional rural church and see worship change from traditional to contemporary worship? And they were just intrigued with that, and they wanted to know how I did that, and how a church still has a woman, Fanny, who has led music here for 55 years, still leading music behind a full praise band and a praise team. And as they were wanting to know about that, I just really felt this prompting in my spirit to say, you know, worship is not just singing a bunch of songs to God and hearing a sermon and take an offering, and have an invitation, and respond to the invitation. To me, that's a part, but it's not the worship of our God. To me, what we do here, as I'm going to share with you later, is just a celebration where the corporate body comes together, and it's a celebration of the worship of God. But worship of God needs to be taking place every single day of our lives, so that we don't just have this separated thought that we're going to worship, when all along God says, well, listen, I want your worship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, I really believe when I'm asked this question about our worship on Sunday morning, that I just feel like, as a whole, the church doesn't get what church really is. And so I begin to speak about a principle called life on life. And what that simply means is that our life here ought to be based upon the relationship that we have with God, life on the life of God, and then what we have with one another, life on life, where we're speaking into each other's lives, where we're praying for one another, encouraging one another, urging one another on into this thought of becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, they met the gods of the Baals. And the Baal god was a fertility god. And theologians tell us that Baal worship was something that you would call sympathetic worship. And sympathetic worship just simply means this. You worship your God by imitating Him. You worship your God by imitating Him. So when they went in to the promised land, God said, listen, do not worship their gods. Well, when they got in the promised land and they saw Baal worship, what they saw were these big, huge temples to Baal. And what happened in those temples was their worship. But their worship was this. They would have slaves as temple prostitutes, men and women, boys and girls. And since Baal was the god of fertility, then anything that had to do with fertility was practiced. And so a Baal worshiper would go in to imitate the god of fertility by going into that temple and having relations with the temple prostitute. And so this is what's called sympathetic worship. And the suggestion that I've made to that class on Thursday night is our worship is a sympathetic worship. The way we worship the living God is by imitating Him. So that when I walk the way God walks, I'm worshiping Him. Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Everything that Paul has been saying to the church at Ephesus comes down to this one word in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, everything that I've been telling you about who you are in Christ and how you're to walk, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm summing up Therefore, you be imitators of God as beloved children. As a beloved son wants to imitate his daddy, so this worship of ours is to imitate our God. And he says in verse 2, and you walk in love. The way you imitate, the way you worship, is you walk in love just as Christ also loved you. How he gave himself up for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. If you go down through these verses of scriptures, you'll see instruction, how we're to live and how we're to walk, how we're to imitate our God. And then he comes down to the wonderful verse in 18, the wonderful verses of worship that says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to speak to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs. Life on life. Life on life. Where we're speaking to one another. The graces and the mercies and the glories of God. Praying for one another. Speaking the word into each other's lives. That's life on life. When I shared this principle of life on life, and what church really was what we did every other day of the week. As you get together with other folks in the body of Christ, and you have this life on life, where you pray for one another and you lift one another up and you walk in this forgiveness toward one another and you're speaking into each other's lives, because this life on life is worship. It's what we do 7 days a week in our homes, in our communities, as we come together with other believers and as we minister life. And as we reflect the goodness of God, and as we reflect the forgiveness of God, this is our worship. It is life on life, reflecting Him to one another. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you were introduced to a man who found God in a dentist office. Here's a guy that we didn't know about at this time, but he was on his way for a 6-month sentence because of something he did 2 years before. Related with alcohol. But he ends up having to have some work on his teeth. So he goes in, and they start witnessing to him. Now you remember a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you, he went in, they prayed for him because he thought that he was going to the doctor that day to take off his arm. He didn't know which place. And they prayed for him, went to the doctors, his arm got healed up. Okay, people started ministering to him. Well, all of a sudden, they don't know he's going to jail. But people in our body, life on life, worshiping God. 7 days a week. Life on life, community. Life on life, speaking in their lives. Got a letter from him. And it's just been a few days. He's at the county jail waiting for a bed in the safety. He's going to be there 6 months. I talked with him the week before he left, prayed for him, came to men's group. And so he writes, "Dear Mike and Cottonwood, how are y'all doing? Fine, I hope. Well, I've been here a week today. I had my evaluation Thursday, sent my paperwork in. It'll be 4 to 6 weeks before they have a bed for me at safety. The first day, another fellow and me started a prayer circle in the morning, then again at night. First 2 days, it was just me and him. Now we're up to 12 people. We've started a Bible study. We really don't know what we're doing. But we open the Bible to page 1, and we're working our way back. We pray before we start. We pray when we finish up. With your prayer and God's help, maybe we can help one another and ourselves. Any suggestions on literature would be helpful. And thank you for your prayers and love." And I looked at David, and David says, he doesn't need any suggestions. He says to open his Bible at page 1 and go back. P.S. On each floor, there's 4 sections. Each section is called a pod. They've already started calling us God's pod. When I think about a letter like this, I think about the worship of God that didn't take place on a Sunday morning, but that took place in a men's meeting on Life on Life. That took place at a lunch when someone got together with him. That took place in his life as people spoke into his life. That is what worship is about. It's about the body reflecting the love of God to one another in their marriages and in their homes, to their children, and to a lost and dying world. Not just here. We don't have a great opportunity here to do that because you're looking at me and you're listening to me. And you're singing this way, and you're just looking at the back of most people's heads, especially if you sit way back there. Life on life is the principle of worship that we're talking about here today. And if it's not happening in your life on a daily basis, then why do you expect it would happen here? Because if it's happening in your life on a daily basis, then I tell you what's happening. You're seeing the love of God. You're seeing the life of God. You are being changed. You are being delivered. And then when you come to this place, you can hardly contain yourself to sing out in praise and celebration to our great God. Last week, the Go Lightlys were in La Fiesta. Someone asked about our cross, Hispanic man. And he asked where they went to church. He said, Cottonwood. He said, oh, that's the church that likes us. Folks, that's the church that likes us. I want to ask you, how are we doing that individually and corporately on a daily basis? Yeah, that's the woman that likes me. That's the man that really invests himself in my life. That is what worship is. Second point, living worship is laying down your life. See, living worship is imitating Him. And how did we imitate Him? By laying down our lives. Living worship is laying down our lives. You know, when you remember the story of Job and how God allowed the enemy to absolutely take everything away from him. I mean everything. From the wealthiest man who had everything in one moment to someone who had nothing. Here was the guy who lost his children. The scripture says in Job chapter 1, verse 20, that Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground, and he worshiped. I don't think he sang a celebrating chorus to God. I don't think he gave an offering. I don't think he heard a preacher preach that day. The scripture says he worshiped his God. The word literally means that he fell to the ground and he laid himself down before God. And you have this literal picture of a prostrate man at the feet of God, submitting himself to his God in the circumstances of his life. Submitting himself, laying his life down, both literally and figuratively. Laying it down to say, God, my life is in your hands. No grumbling, no complaining, no finding fault with God. But submitting himself, laying himself down to the circumstances of his hour, the circumstances of his day. His wife was a different picture. His wife said, curse God and die. Curse God and die. In other words, Job, quit worshiping God because it doesn't make any sense to me. Quit worshiping him and go on and curse him. He said, you speak as a foolish person. Shall we not accept adversity from God as well as good from God? He's already said it. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of our God. He worshiped by laying down his life to a sovereign God and placing his circumstances in the hands of God to say, God, whatever, whenever, however, however you want to do it, I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to praise you. I'm going to still lift your name on high. That is what it means to worship. The scripture speaks of this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And go on and turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Notice what he says in Romans 12, 1. I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. This is your worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And through the grace given to me, I say every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each measure of faith. Because just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And we have different gifts that differ according to the grace. So let's exercise them accordingly. If it's prophecy, then exercise it. If service, serve. If you're a teacher, then teach. If you're an exhorter, then exhort. If you're a giver, then give with liberality. If you lead, then lead with diligence. And if you show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. This is the worship of God. This is the life on life. It's interesting that he would say, listen, your worship is offering your body a living and holy sacrifice. And the way you do that is you allow the gifts of God to flow through your life so that you can minister and love one another. That's worship. That's worship. That's how you bow down to God. You lay down your life as a holy sacrifice to God. And look at verse 9 for just a minute. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. Don't lag behind in diligence. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Persevere in tribulation. Be devoted to prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, and do not be wise in your own estimation. It's body life. Body life. Life on life is how we imitate our God. And how we imitate our God, we will worship our God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well. Please turn there. John chapter 4. Jesus had exposed her heart. He told her, listen, you don't have one husband, you have five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. This he said truly. Verse 19, the woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. How do you know about me? I think you're a prophet. You know what? Let's talk about worship. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, I think we get this idea that worship is something you do at a specific place in a specific time. And that's her thought. We say we worship over here on this mountain. And you say the Jews worship over here in Jerusalem. Now, which one is it? Where are we supposed to worship? Where's the time and where's the place? And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship that which we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Now watch. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Spirit and truth. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's interesting. This word worship is a combination of two words. The word towards, now hang with me here, because this is a tough one, and the word dog. Towards dog. And it carries the idea of a dog that licks the master's hand. Faithful, loyal. Now, we have dogs, okay? And John Ann and Ashlyn love dogs, okay? Mike and Jeremy and Lauren, we just have dogs, okay? Okay? We just have them. And those dogs know that. I mean, they know it. Now, John Ann drives the truck, okay? And when the truck is on the road a half a mile, those dogs' ears perk, okay? When my car is on the road in the driveway, they don't even look at it, okay? All right? Okay, they just don't. Now, sometimes I'm driving the truck, okay? And John Ann's in the car with me. And I'll drive up, and those dogs, I mean, they're so happy. I mean, they're wagging their tail. And I'll open the door, and there the dogs are waiting. And they'll look at me, and I'll go, sorry, guys. And I mean, before I let that out, I mean, they're sprinting to the other side. Because they want to be with the one who's going to touch their head and let them lick their hand. Those dogs go toward the true master that loves them. And I think, you know, they don't want to roam. They don't want to catch. They don't want to fetch. They want to be with John Ann. Okay? And you know, when I think about that is, those dogs worship her. Now, they don't sing to her. They don't give her anything. They just want to be with her. When I think about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it means that we are a people who want to be with God. That is what worship is. It's the heart of a worshiper that wants to be with God. He just wants to be with God. Because you see, you can come here and we can sing great songs and we can have great worship, so to speak, and feel good about it, and God not be anywhere near it.
We've got to be a people who want to be with God. Listen, we can see a church grow to 5,000 but still not reflect the glory and love God. We can have a praise team that produces albums and sings great. But if we don't love one another, we're not worshipers. It's a living worship, a life lived by the Spirit and by the Word. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter 8. As you think about walking by the Spirit or worshiping Him in spirit, notice what the Scripture speaks about a life according to the Spirit. Notice verse 1, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In order, here it is, that the requirement of the law, what's the requirement of the law? Perfection. Okay? Found through the cross of Jesus, where Jesus died for you, a perfect sacrifice. But He says, listen, not only is the perfect sacrifice 2,000 years ago, but it's made powerful in your life that as you live according to the Spirit, the Word is being fulfilled in your life. Notice, for those according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the Word of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are of the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, if He dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells us. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you're living according to the flesh, you're about to die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, and you're going to live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're to worship by the Spirit. Folks, by the Spirit, according to this passage of Scripture, is a life not on the flesh, but on the things of God. You've got to ask the question, how are you living? Because how you're living determines what kind of worshiper you are. That means that we are a people that are to live according to the Spirit of God and according to a spirit of godliness. What is godliness? What is ungodly? What does it mean to be ungodly? I mean, I grew up in New Orleans. I would say that the first impression that I have of ungodly living is go down to Bourbon Street, you'll see ungodliness. And I think sometimes we cushion ourselves from the fact that I can't be ungodly because I'm not living like they're living on Bourbon Street. You know, when I turn to Jude chapter 1, and I'd like for you to turn there and look at this with me for just a second. When you look at Jude chapter 1, and I don't know about you, but in the past when we've read it, I mean, it just brings great conviction to my heart. You see, we're talking about a worshiper who lives according to the Spirit, who lives a godly life. And in verse 14, Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter. He's talking about people who creep into the church. And he says, about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. And then he describes them. He says, they're grumblers. They find fault. They follow after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. But I think what's very interesting, if I'm going to walk by the Spirit of God, I'm going to be a worshiper of God. And do you know what that means? It means that I'm not going to grumble about my circumstances. Did Job grumble about his circumstances? No, he worshiped. Worship. He worshiped by blessing the name of God. By submitting to the hand of God. He worshiped when he decided not to grumble. Did he find fault with God? No, he didn't find fault with God. He worshiped. But I think as I look at my own life and I think about the life that I've lived, the quote, clean life that I've lived, But how often do I find myself grumbling and finding fault? How often? And I want to suggest to you folks that a true worshiper becomes less and less of a grumbler and a fault finder and one who follows after his lust and one who speaks arrogantly and flatters people and even himself for the sake of gaining an advantage, does that less and less and becomes more and more the person that God's called him to be. It's a life according to the Spirit. The true worshiper worships God in spirit and in truth. And God declares that His truth is the Word of God. So not only do I live by the Spirit, I live by the Word of God. Hebrews speaks of this. Don't want you to turn there. Don't have the time to because I want to worship today. But when I think about this passage, he's talking about the Word of God and how it's quick and it's powerful and it divides and it convicts and it does these things in your life so that you might enter into the Holy of Holies. Because folks, living worship is a life according to the Spirit and it's a life according to the Word of God. That brings us to Sunday and what happens today. And like I told you from the very beginning, what I believe, that living worship on Sunday is not just the 11 o'clock hour. But when it comes to that hour, it becomes a corporate praise that celebrates the worship of God. Can you hear us? It celebrates the worship of God. Because worship is life on life. And when we come to this place, what we're saying is that we're worshipers of God, and we're going to celebrate that. And yeah, we're going to sing to Him, and we're going to have praise today, but I'm going to realize that this praise is just an offering that comes out of my mouth of great gratefulness of what God is doing on a daily basis to this worshiper. So if I come to this place thinking I'm going to worship, but I've not loved God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I've not laid down my life for others, that I've not lived by the Spirit, that I'm not imitating God, that I'm not walking in forgiveness, that I'm walking in a grumbling spirit or fault-finding, and if I'm not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, if I'm not loving my neighbor, praying for one another, I'm not worshiping God in spirit and truth. That's why God never looks at your performance. He looks at your fruit. And that our performance should come out of an absolute total love and worship of God. That's what He looks at. The Spirit and the truth. Our church, as your pastor, I don't want it to be about, quote, a great Sunday morning hour. I want it to be a great life together. That's what I would desire. Hey, folks, some of you don't know this because you're new. Some of you know it and have heard it. But when God just led us to stay here, I ask God that He would satisfy us with His presence and that our people would love one another. Now, I didn't know any better what I was asking. But you know what I was asking? That, Lord, make us true worshipers. Life on life. I got to ask a question. Are you connected to the body of Christ? Are you connected to the body of Christ? Do you just come to, quote, worship on Sunday? Or is there a connection where you're able to worship your God in the life-to-life process? I want to ask you, as I asked the students Thursday night, are you worshiping God by imitating Him on a daily basis? See, I think that worshiper and a Christian is synonymous. I don't think you can take those apart. If you're a believer, you're a worshiper of God. The question is, are you living that out today? Are you walking that out?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.